You know, glory to him, we've always been different. I don't know if it's good or it's not good or whatever people think about it, but I know it's who we are. And I believe that there's sometimes we get to make decisions in life, and I think sometimes those decisions are made for us. The Bible says that the gifts and the callings are without repentance, and that's how they're given, which means God's not changing his mind. So whether we like it or whether we don't, it's still what we're called to do. And so sometimes what I've learned is if I'm not liking something where there's a calling, but God has me to serve in that calling, that it's not God that needs to change, but it might be me. And I have to assume that if God is my Father and he loves me and he cares about me, that he wouldn't have me in the place doing what I'm doing, in the calling that I'm supposed to be moving into, if there wasn't something in my life that he was planning for and it needed me to change to be able to be compatible with the thing he wanted to bless me with. Now, I want to go ahead and get some things said here. I'm not here to compare our church to anyone else or to say what anyone else is doing. I can't be responsible for what anybody else is doing or isn't doing. But I am allowed to have concerns. And when I see a culture when all the church buildings are full, we got more mega churches now than we've ever had, but yet, no, and I say this the right way, but the society has been going to hell. And I mean literally going to hell. So I have to be able to express some concerns. And when I look into the book of Acts, and I see how the church was started, and I see how the church was growing, and I see how the church was supposed to be organized, and when Paul came in and began, because he was also affiliated with structure, he came and began to try to put some structure in the church, but he never meant for it to be an institution. It was supposed to be a way. It was supposed to be a move. They even called it the way before they were called Christians. It was just called, you simply just did it this way. And I'm going to have to say it because when we see things now, like someone speaking in tongues, someone getting healed, someone wallowing on the floor, is a demon is coming out of them. What used to be usual now has become an oddity. It's foreign. Can I even go to the extreme and say it's now weird? Someone's dancing in the spirit. What are they thinking? They're making me uncomfortable. Why are they raising their hands? Who are they waving at? Does the music really have to be that loud? But I look into the Bible, it says, praise him on the high sounding. So that means, that ain't no little dinking cowbell. When I see an example of David dancing so violently that his clothes started coming off because he was moving so aggressively. I don't think that probably looked real socially acceptable, but yet he was the man who was touted after God's own heart, and it wasn't because of lack of sin in his life. I hope about three people heard me on what I said there. If we don't get this part, I can't even go preach what I got to say today. Now listen, nobody believes in right living and Christian living more, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's not our focus. Did you hear what I said? That comes once we are focused. It's a byproduct of being focused. We're not to focus on that because I've already been there. I thought I had to do this for God, and I had to do that for God, and I had to perform for God. And if I did this, he loved me, and if I didn't do it, he didn't love me. If I did it, he was happy with me. If he didn't do it, he wasn't happy with me. Let me tell you something. God loves you no matter what you're doing. He loves you when you're a sinner. He loves you when you're saved. He loves you when you fall. He loves you when you make a mistake. Is he happy about it? No. But does he condemn you? Or did Jesus say, I didn't come to condemn the world, I came to save it? And you've got to get in your mind that Jesus is always trying to save you. Not make you live in shame. Not make you live in guilt. Not so you don't have not good enough syndrome. Who am I talking here today? I'm speaking to some few people. I'm telling you, there's going to be some that's going to get hit with it a lot more because I'm speaking right to you. And I think we've shifted our focus on so many other things that we've lost the core resonance of who we are. So I want to read a portion of Scripture from Philippians. Now here, when Paul's speaking, he's talking about a life. And he's talking about a Christian life. But what he's trying to do is he's trying to get the listeners to move out of who they are and instead move into who they need to be. Well, I'm this and I'm that. Well, Paul said, well, yeah, I'm born first of a Hebrew. I'm firstborn. And he goes through his accolades that he was from a Pharisee, the most strict, you know, all the way down through. And he starts saying, and that means nothing when it's compared with what Christ did. So what is he saying? He's saying is we need to quit focusing, all of us, so much upon me and I did and me and me, so I deserve and I should have. We deserve and should have nothing based on the law of sin and death. But because he stepped in and made a way to get past that, he abolished that in our life, he broke that in our life, then watch this. We owe him everything. Now this morning, that's hello. That's glory to him saying hello. And I want to point you with that mindset of where Paul is. And when we look at Philippians 3 and we go to verse 12, we'll start. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. So Paul's not claiming perfection. He says, or that I already reached perfection. No. There's not one person in this house that's perfect. And if you think you are, then you're perfectly crazy. And we have prayers for that, and we have oil for that. And he goes on to say, now listen to this. This is some of the most powerful words you may ever hear. And if you can get a hold of these and get them in your spirit, it may change your life forever. It will definitely change you before you leave here today. I press on to possess the perfection. I press to possess. Did you hear that? I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Now I'm going to say it this way, and you say it with me. Say, I press on to possess that perfection that first possessed me. See, when I say possess, you don't know what it means. You think about it means you're spinning your head around and throwing up. No, that's possession. Possession means ownership. You possess something, you own it. How many times have you ever heard somebody that's ready to go out on a performance on the stage and they say, come on, girl, you own that thing. You get out there and own it. Come on, boy, get out there. You own that thing, right? And that's what the Apostle Paul said. He says, when you go out in your life, the perfection that possesses you, you owe him everything. He owns you. Now, the perfection that owns you, you go out there and own that. Because if you knew who it was that really was your owner, the one who was looking out after you, the one that has your back no matter what, the one that's making a way for you when there is no way. The way that's supplying all your needs according to his riches and glory. That one. He owns you. Now you need to own that. I don't know who your daddy was in this life. I don't know who your mama was in this life. I don't know what neighborhood you come from, but your resident just changed. I don't know what your past was. I don't know who you used to be. I don't even know who you still think you are. But it's time that you own up to who you are. And I'm tired of us walking around with our heads down, scratching on the ground, complaining, worried about how we're going to get from day to day. Own that thing, man. You got to own it. Do you not know the perfection that is in you? Do you not know the perfection that owns you? You've got to own that, and until you do, you will have nothing. I don't know who this word is for. I press on to possess the perfection for Christ Jesus, which first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. No, you may not have it all together. Paul's trying to take all the hindrances, distractions, all the frustrations, aggravations, irritations, all the things in your life, and he's saying, listen, that's all happening. And I know we all miss the mark. He's even including himself. He says, but there's this one thing. And through all of this chaos, there's one thing I got to focus on. You pick anything. You pick a basketball player, and he has to focus on the rim. If he doesn't focus on the rim, he's never going to make the shot. You take a tennis player, he's got to focus on the ball. Because if he doesn't see the ball, he's not going to get it across the net. You take a football player, he's got to focus on the play. And if he doesn't focus on the play, it's not going to develop, and he's not going to get the intended result. You have to have focus in your life. So Paul's saying, listen, out of all this stuff that's going on, there's one thing you need to focus on. And watch this, he says it is one thing, but it breaks down into three. I'm going to make it easy for you today. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, and I press on to reach the end of the race. That's all one thing. And receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling it. That's what you're being called to. And we're so worried about the earthly prizes. We want the short things. We want the, my God, we'll settle for a bowl of soup over an inheritance. God's serving steak dinner, and we want to eat beef jerky. I don't understand. Yeah, God serves steak. He said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If you want a steak, eat it anytime you want it. Why? Because you own it. Somebody's going to get this before I'm done today. So why don't we just dive in? Why don't we get it? Why don't we move in? Because we're not focused. And if we're ever going to get to the place where God's calling us, we have to focus on the future. How do you do that? First one, you got to forget the past. Forgetting the past. Say forgetting. Three F's. It says forgetting, looking forward, what lies ahead, and I press on the race. So the first one is forgetting, looking forward to what lies ahead. That's forward. That's the second F. And the third one is I press on to reach the end of the race, and that's finishing. Say forgetting. Say forward. Say finishing. That's one thing. It's like a three-legged stool. It's one stool with three legs. If you don't have all three legs, it's never stable. And you can't stand on it. So let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree at some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we've already made. In other words, don't back up. So you have to forget the past. But let me say this. I've said this since I arrived at this church. The only way you can steer a car in the rearview mirror is if you're going backwards. Go like this. See, I'm moving forward. Every time you want to take a look behind you, you're going backwards. Every time you say, well, man, I did this. Oh, this happened. Well, that. 5 steps forward, 2 steps back. 2 steps forward, 5 steps back. Anybody wonder why they're not going anywhere? You ever feel like you just can't go anywhere and God, you're doing the same old thing over and over? So, well, I don't know. I keep trying to get out of the past. Still not convinced? Look at your spiritual armor in Ephesians 6. Only place you don't see armor is on the backside. You're supposed to move forward into the things of God. Forward into the things God's calling you to. Forward is your mission. Say, I gotta move forward. Say it. Say, I've got to move forward. Now, the only thing you bring with you from your past, listen, are the life lessons that you learned along the way. So, but even those, you bring those forward. You don't look at the situations of the past. So forget about what happened. You know, forget about the things that you did that you can't change. Forget about your past failures. You know, forget about worrying about choices that you made and wondering how they're going to affect you. Stop worrying. Instead, look at number two, look forward to what lies ahead. Now, see, this is a double emphasis here. Now, pay attention. You want to get this because you got to have forward focus. He's saying look forward. How many people have ever, maybe you're going to go on a trip, like when I was a kid, how many people ever want to go to Disney World or you want to go to the fair, right? And you look forward to it. You had a vacation and you look forward to it. See, there's an excitement. It's not just looking forward and there's a vacation. No, you're looking forward to it. Man, you're excited about it. So looking forward to what lies ahead. Not, oh, no, this could happen and that could happen. And woe is me. What if this and what if that? What if? Okay, what if? Or you can look forward knowing that God's got your back. God's already made a plan for you. God went three steps ahead of you when you hadn't even made the first step yet. He's already got angels assigned to be at certain places that he's going to call you by the Spirit to be. He's already packed everything on the inside of that you will ever need to supply you for in this life. Did you know that? Why? Because the same perfection that possessed you, he wants you to possess. See, I got to own it. Man, we're back to ownership again. I'm trying to move to point two, and we keep going back to ownership. So you got to look forward. It's a new way for a new day. Say a new way for a new day. And if you want that new way for a new day, something has to change. Please, stop focusing. I'm going to say this. Listen to me. Stop focusing on what you've been and start focusing on what you need to be. And who you need to be. Now, this is what the Lord has been laying on me. Heavy. Stop focusing on what you've been. What you were got you through the last season. All the things that happened to you got you to where you are. Good, bad, or ugly, you are where you are. Now, stop looking at that person because to get to the next place, you need to look at, now, who I need to be to get here. What do I need to be? To look forward to what's coming ahead. What can I do and who can I be in order to look forward? Because if you're trying to be what you were in the last season, in the new season, you're not looking forward to it at all. Some of you may be dreading it. Why? Because something's going to have to change. God, we don't like change. You think that worm wanted to be a butterfly? Didn't even know one was. He's just happy crawling around on the ground, waiting on the birds to pick him off. Scarfing a leaf or two. You think he wanted to climb into that cocoon, fall asleep in a cave, wake up with wings poked out of his back? But I just wonder how he felt when he was flying through the meadow. Some of y'all are going to enjoy flying through the meadow when you don't have people stepping on you anymore. Walking on you. Talking down to you. Everybody looking down to you all the time. Somebody say you got to own it. You got to own it. You got to look forward to it. And there's two of the greatest mindsets that are used by the enemy is focusing on the past and worrying about the future. Listen to me. If he steals your focus, he controls your life. See, I got to focus on the future. And I look forward to it. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you will wear. For the Gentiles, the non-believer, they strive after all these things. That's actually what they're working for. They're working for the stuff. But your heavenly Father already knows that you need them. See, you don't have to worry about what God's already taken care of. Why are you worrying and struggling about the thing where God has already made provision? Are you listening? That's what this verse is trying to remind us. But we got to get focused, don't we? So how do we get focused? But seek, this is coming from Jesus, seek first. Paul said we got to focus. Jesus said we got to seek. Seek first. Yeah, but I got all this stuff going on at work. Seek first. You don't know what's going on in my family. You have to seek first. If you knew my situation, you wouldn't be saying that. But seek first. I don't even know how I'm going to pay my apartment this month. Seek first. If Jesus says it, I believe it. I'm going to say something. You can't outthink Jesus. So why don't we just give this a try? We've tried everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God. See, you start talking about kingdom and his righteousness, and now you're affecting hell. I want to throw off the count of hell. Whatever they're expecting this year, I want to cut that down to nothing. About five people understood what I was talking about there. See, when you start touching kingdom and you start getting on point and you start focusing on kingdom, that's when the enemy shows up. See, some of y'all ain't even had to bother. You're doing such a good job yourself. Now, some of us, we're tearing ourselves up. I've been there, man. Some days I still think I do it. Oh, I know I do it. Man, I'm tearing myself up. I gave the devil a day or a week off, man. He hadn't had to ruin anything in my life. I'm doing such a fantastic job. But then the Holy Spirit will hit me and he'll remind me, you got to focus, man. You got to focus. You got to focus on what? Kingdom. You got to seek the kingdom. And you can't just think about it. You can't just read about it. You got to do it. Seeking means you're looking for it. You're out trying to find it. You're doing something about it, not just talking about it. And as the church, I think, we're not looking at kingdom. We're looking at things that we like to do to please our flesh. We like to hang out. We want to do small groups. Oh, that's great. I love all that stuff. What's that got to do with kingdom? I thought we're supposed to establish kingdom on the earth. Am I right, or did I read my Bible wrong? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist preached it. He handed it off the baton to Jesus. Now Jesus is the kingdom, and he came, and he said, this is how it looked. This is what it looks like. This is what kingship is. The perfection that possessed you, you got to possess, you got to own it. But we can't own what we can't focus on. Let me tell you something. How many people here have ever had a zero bank account? Go ahead, there's no shame in it. I'll put a hand and a leg. How many people have had a negative sign on it? Come on, let's just go ahead and tell it all. We're in church, we might as well go ahead and expose it. Let me tell you what you did when that negative sign was in your account. You couldn't think of nothing else. Where was your focus? So if your focus was on that negative sign, what was your day? Negative. How was your personality? Negative. But see, when I own it, and I know who my provider is, and the same one that perfected the same perfection now, that owns all the catalogs, has all the earth and the fullness thereof, all the silver, all the gold. He owns me.
And therefore, I have to own up. I have to possess it. And when I possess it, all day long, when I had no money in my account, I focused on that. But when I have all my needs met, I'm just going to focus on that. So now I'm walking around, and my focus is on all God's already done for me, all I already have, not what I'm going to need. And so my day is very positive. My life is very happy. I am very fulfilled. People actually want to be around me. Anybody getting there? You got to own it. But in order to do that, you got to focus on the future. Now, if you want to take your life completely out of the enemy's hands, how many people would like to take your life out of the enemy's hands? If you want to do that, just put your focus on kingdom first. Why? Because the minute you do it, all the things are added. See, we like to look at the stuff that's added. Lord, add to this. Lord, add to that. I want. But we forgot this part of the scripture that says you have to do this first. Seek ye first the kingdom. And while you're seeking, what's God doing? He's adding. How many people need some adding? How many people know the reason why it's not adding is you ain't been seeking? My hand's up too. I could do so much better. Matter of fact, I'm shaming myself right now because I look at all the things I could have said, done last week, and I just lost opportunity after opportunity because I was frustrated about a few things and got my mind off focus. And God knows I might have got a handful of more people saved. And so why should anything be added to my life? Bible says a workman's worthy of his hire, but the opposite is occurring as well. You don't work, you don't eat. Remember, that scripture's in 2 Thessalonians 2. You got to take the whole scripture. Don't work, you don't eat, but if you do, you eat the good of the land. I'm going to touch on politics now. It's not a political message. I'm telling you the way kingdom works. Y'all can fight about how the earth works. I'm not involved in all that. Y'all can scrap amongst yourselves. I'm just going to tell you how it works in kingdom. In the kingdom, you don't work, you don't eat, unless you're not able. And if you're not able, God makes a way. So if you're focused on seeking, you know, if every member of this church would show up at one time, we'd have to probably bring chairs in. If every person, it's just this church, if we were focused on what we need to be focused on, doing what our assignments were, we'd have to go to 3 services within a week. Within 1 week. 1 week. I told you it's a special day today, and I got to say some things that need to be said for all of us, or we're never going to get to where we need to be. None of us. Because, see, if we don't get to the place we're called to, because that's not changing, right? We already agreed to that. Then we're never going to get fulfilled as individuals. See, the problem is we got too many of us are out there trying to figure out what they're doing this and they're doing this. Hey, the Bible says work out your own salvation. Don't worry about sister, you know who, and brother, you know what. Don't worry about them. It has nothing to do with you. Well, he's over there doing that. What's that got to do with you? I mean, you got enough to work out. That's why you're so stressed out. You're in everybody else's lane. Just get in your lane and drive, man. That's just stick your plow in the ground, man. Get it in there so some. And I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me like I'm talking to you. It's like, folks, listen to me. The only one responsible for your salvation is you, by the way. Because it says you have to work it out. But what was that word? Work. You got to work it out. You got to keep working. And how do you do it? Tell me. Focus. And what's your focus? Kingdom. And what do you do to kingdom? Seek it. You seek it. Now, don't raise your hand right now, but was the first thing when you came up out of bed this morning, you said, Lord, what can I do for you? Or was it your prayer, Lord, what can you do for me?
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
That's actually scriptural. What can you do for kingdom? See, I've changed my prayer life. I'm waking up in the mornings now. I'm like, Lord, what do I need to do for kingdom? Before I ask you for a thing, what do I need to do? Because I know the moment. See, you got to read your Bible and understand what it's saying. I know the moment that I start seeking. He already says he already knows what we need of. You act like you got to tell him. That's like a 2-year-old going, Dad, diaper change. You didn't put diaper on. Yeah. How foolish would that be? It's every time, Daddy, will you give me diaper? Daddy, will you give me Those who are mature in the faith, let's agree on these things. That's what the Bible says. Those who are mature in the faith, let us agree on these things. And so I've just learned in my own life that when I start seeking and I start asking, what can I do for kingdom? And I start doing that and I get on assignment, that I don't even have to pray about all the things that I need because they show up before I even ask for them. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Come, somebody give me a testify here. Somebody just, hey, that, yeah. Know a little bit about that. You know, the moment you were serving God the hardest and the most was the time you were feeling the most fulfilled. It was the time you had the most joy. Was it hard? You better believe it was hard. But you knew when you were done, you were doing what you were supposed to do. And something down inside of you said, that's what it has to be for me. That is seeking. How many people have it done? Have you been there yet? Have you been to that place? If you're not, we got to get there. You got to serve your way into that mentality. Come on, I got to move on. Oh, there's so much here. I got to move past some of this. So you focus on the future, but you don't worry about what will happen. Got it? You don't worry about what will or won't happen. Say, focus on the future. But don't worry about it. And then finally, the last one, you got to finish. Remember, it's three things, but it's one thing. Here's a third leg of the stool. I'm going to give you a Hananism. You can't win a race you don't finish. You can stand there all day jumping up and down. We win, we win. Well, you don't win a race you don't finish. We won. Did you? Because I didn't see you cross the finish line. You know, we ain't handing out trophies to everybody. I don't know if you read the Bible. Everybody ain't gone. That gate's narrow. Wide is the gate to destruction. Many are those who will find it. That narrow gate. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't win a race. You can't finish. I hope I'm getting somebody's attention here today. Okay, I'm going to step away from these notes for a minute, and I'm going to close. Get my sword. Now, I've preached to you, now I want to talk to you for a minute. Can I just talk to you for a minute? There was a time years ago. Many of you were here at Glory to Him. Our church was thriving. I mean, it was going on. We were having moves of God that were insane. We were having moves of God that would just, you'd walk in and the hair would stand on the back of your neck. People were driving by and they were drawn in. They said, we don't know, we were just driving by and the Lord drew us into this place. That was happening regular. How many people remember that? It was happening regular. Didn't even know what this building was. Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday service then was bigger than our Sunday service is now. We had a daycare thriving, had a school, K-2 through K-12, with graduates. We had a Bible college. How many Bible graduates we have in here? Yeah, see? We get, yeah, spread. I mean, we were doubling every year. Do you understand? If you talked in this town about a church and you said, glory to him, everybody would tell you this is the church to go to. Why? Because we were moving in the Spirit of God. Listen to me. You have to know what your gifts, you have to know what your callings are. This church can't be like everybody else. Now listen, I'm just going to, can I get raw for just a few minutes before we go home? When I got to this church, I was in a place with God where I didn't feel like I knew anything. But when the Spirit of the Lord got on me, I felt like I knew everything. And I was smart enough to know that it wasn't me, it was him. Because I couldn't do anything without him. And no matter where we were going on the road, it was lighting up. I mean, we'd see demons coming out. We'd see people shaking under the power. We'd see people getting delivered, people jumping up and down, coming off of cocaine. Just stuff that you just don't see. Stuff being healed, cancers being healed, you name it. We got to this church, and we started moving in that. And all I would do was, I call it like navigate the move of the Holy Spirit, you know, flow and just direct the move of the Holy Spirit and just try to follow the Spirit to whatever he was doing. And my goodness, it was overwhelming. The church was growing so fast. I didn't even know how to maintain. I was doing the best I had with the knowledge I possessed. So I prayed the prayer of Solomon. I said, you know, Lord, tell me how to tend to these people. I don't know what to do. And so God started giving supernatural insight. He put people around me that knew more than I did and about things that I didn't know about. And we all just dug in, man. Man, we was here for a long time, weren't we? There were many little sleepless nights. Roger, we were here for a while. Right? Sam Angela, we was here for a while, right? Dorothy, come on, somebody help me here now. Some of y'all was here. You know. I'm going to tell you, we fleshed this thing out, and it was hard. But my God, you know what my favorite moments were? We'd come out of a service, we'd have a after service. And the after service, I didn't think it'd get any better than the service. But we'd have church again. And we'd come back that night. And I'll never forget, because we were at the parsonage back then. I'd be walking home, and I'd just be reliving the service. And I never even felt my feet touching the ground. I couldn't think about a problem that I had. I couldn't think about what was and what was. I was so enthralled in what God was doing. We got in cars, and we drove around this entire Wiregrass area. We went to every gate that entered access into this territory, and we dug stakes down in, and we claimed this property for Christ. We stood at every gate, and we cursed. Oh, my God, we cursed every spirit, every Masonic lodge. We broke the, because they're at every gate. We took control of those gates over those Masonic lodges. We did, and listen, and then we had an awakening. Had an awakening conference. Everybody who was on this stage, and man, we touched something. We drove back the forces of this, I'm telling you, of darkness so far. It was like a nuclear bomb. Yeah. And when we did that, watch this. We put a target on our back. Now, I didn't know then what I know now. I was just young and stupid and crazy and would do whatever God told me to do. But I always tried to follow the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you right now, we weren't prepared. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody loved moving in. Everybody loved being a part of it. But you weren't a part of this leadership. Because let me tell you something. Myself and everybody who else was on that stage, for the next 5 years, we got our eyes beat out. When I say every spiritual attack you can think of that can come against you came against us, I watched one of the members up here who had a 10,000-member church in Atlanta. I watched that church get split in half, cut in half, cut down, dismantled to the point it doesn't exist anymore. I watched another one who, and I'm trying not to call these names because it's not important in personality, but you would know him because it was one of the biggest TV names probably in history, and it was his wife, and she was up here, and they're no longer together anymore. And I won't even name the rest of them and what happened to their ministry. It wasn't nice. It wasn't pretty. I stood in this pulpit when there were days I couldn't even walk. And I would preach under the influence of the Holy Spirit as I went home and saw my family get crushed. For years. And then I started listening to people. Oh, this is the way they're doing it now. This is why your church not growing. I started doing the models and doing the following. There's a lot of good in all that. Don't get me wrong. You need structures, not what I'm saying. And so I just started preaching again. Don't get me wrong. Dropping revelation, wad your face up. Good information, good solid teaching word. We all teach it. We're just blowing the word of God out like that. But I wasn't flowing because I needed some relief. Listen, I'm being honest with y'all today. This is hard for me. Hard for me. It wasn't that I wasn't trying. I just didn't have anything left. I watched family after family, situation after situation, ridiculous stuff. People leaving, people upset you don't even know why. People would be mad on stuff that I said that I didn't even say. I'd hear about it, I said, I never said that. I didn't even know about it, let alone say it. And I will say that most folk weren't just mad at me, they're just mad at stuff. They're just mad at people in here. People just get mad all the time. Everybody's mad all the time. What are you mad at? See, everybody has this idea that when you're in ministry and everything's rocking and everything's going good, that you're doing something right. And everybody thinks when your life's falling apart and everything's coming against you, if there's something, you're doing something wrong. I didn't know what else right I could do at that time. And I was taking fist after fist, cuff after cuff, to the point where it was exhausting. Raise your hand if you're right there with me because you were there. And you were under the same attack. And you felt the same thing. You watched your family get attacked because you took a stand. You said, I won't be like everybody else. You know, I'm a doctor in this community. And I had the greatest favor in the world when I was just a doctor. Everybody loved me. I didn't have one enemy that I knew of. Praise all day long. Thank you for changing my life, Dr. Hand. Oh, you saved my life. Oh, thank you. Oh, you're the best. You're the greatest. Blah, blah, blah. It was just so uplifting, so happy. And then I became pastor. You know what's crazy? I've been given a key for both cities. I got them back there on my wall. For what? When God hands you keys, I believe you're supposed to do something with them. If you're wondering why it's been so hard, if you're wondering why it was so tough, why did you have to go through this much? I'm talking about people that close family, love, it just cut up, act crazy, come against you when you bless them the most. If the enemy can't take what you possess, he'll try to scare you away from your claim. He'll try to run you off of what you possess. I said, I didn't know all I know now back then. I hadn't been through what I've been through when the Lord took me up to Dallas and he healed me so I could think again, because I was about dead and didn't know it. But I see things differently now. I discern things differently. I'm through watching people. I don't depend on anyone in here. I refuse. And if you're dependent on me, stop it. I'll let you down. I'm not equipped to handle your problems. There's only one. You got a problem, you take it to Jesus. If you need advice, come see me. I am not your Savior, and you are not mine. If I expect nothing from you and you expect nothing from me, we're never going to disappoint each other. I'm just a man with a calling who's going to direct the flow of the Holy Spirit, just like an orchestra that has to have a leader to direct the music and the flow of the music. And I'm going to preach the word and I'm going to give it to you. What you do with it's up to you. If you want to receive it, you receive it. If you want to reject it, you reject it. But we will not stop being who we are, and we will not back up. Now listen, I said this before, but I'm not just going to talk. And this time, I got to know something. I got to know. Romans 13:14 says you got to count the cost. When you look at ministry, you got to count the cost. And I've been doing some adding. I've been doing some counting. And I know what happens, and I know what it takes when you get in that place of the miraculous and you flow in what that flows in. But there is no way I'm going there again unless I know you have my back. I just want to finish, and I want to finish strong, don't you? I've told it today the best I know how to tell it. And if this is your first time here, maybe you didn't understand a lot of it because you weren't a part. But I hope you can see who we are and what we're about. We're not sneaking up on anybody, but we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like it was preached in the book of Acts. We will see miracles, signs, and wonders. We will live in the supernatural. We will live with expectation for the future, looking forward to it and not dreading it. I will not look ahead and dread another day in my life. I proclaim that now over myself. I proclaim it over you. Say it. Say, I will not. Say it. I will not. I will not look to my future and dread one more day. I will look ahead
with joy, with gladness, with excitement, with zeal. And I'm going to go ahead and celebrate right now for what God has already planned for me. Somebody say, focus. Focus on your future. Come on, give God some praise in here if you receive that today. Now, come on, give him some real praise. If you understood what I preached today, I want you to give him a shout. The Lord says he'll guard your heart. The one thing I just want to give some accolade for right now. Go ahead. You can play here. It's through all of what's happening. And I wasn't belly aching. I was just connecting with a few of us folks that have went through the fire. And I want to say it's been an honor serving with you. Because through it all, God's guarded our hearts. I love God more today than I've ever loved him in my entire life. So I hope before you leave today, you will embrace what I say. Don't worry about another thing in your life. I don't know who that word's for. But if that's you, I want you to put your hand up and say, I receive it. Don't worry about another thing in your life. Jesus said, don't worry for the tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. You know what that tells me? He's already pre-programmed it to work in your favor. Do you know when you look at tomorrow, it's already fixed? You asking for God to fix something he's already done. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Not because I said it, but because God said it. Can someone just lift your hands up right now and thank him? I just want you to honor him for a minute. I want you to realize what he's done. I want you to realize he's got every day covered for you. Every problem you're ever going to face, he's already got a solution. Every problem you're going to face, he's already come up with the answer. Every need you can ever come up with, he's already supplied. All the things he's calling you to do, he's already made provision for. He's already seen ahead into your future. All you have to do is focus where he already is. Father, I thank you for many, many blessings that you've shown this church. The lives you've touched and changed. The marriages you've mended. The bodies you've healed. The minds that you've renewed. The flesh that you've recovered. Lord, the giftings that you've given and raised up in talent. Lord, I thank you for the way you've protected us, cared for us, been personal with us, not some God that's out there somewhere, but a God that's very present in time of trouble. You're there every time. You've never left us. You'll never forsake us. So I want to thank you for that first. Thank you for loving us when we didn't deserve to be loved. And so, God, we return right now. We return our thank. We return our gratitude. We give you our love right now. We give you complete ownership. And it's through that perfection we're going to own it. Now we know
whose we are, we know who we are. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you, and we send up our praise and our worship to you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give him one more hand clap of praise. Let's just give him one more shout of joy. Thank you, everybody. I want to say to all of you, and I want you to know, that I appreciate and love every person in this building. None of this could have been possible without you. It takes all of us. If you see somebody that's not here today, you make sure they're here next time. If you see somebody that needs to be here, you go get them and you bring them in. Amen. We've got a calling. You now know what it is. You know who we are and you know what we do. How many people want to be a part of that? God bless you. Thank you for your attention today. God bless you.